Garrow, Ashes of Fealty, by James Swallow. Performed by Jonathan Keeble and Toby Longworth. The long iron hall was filled with shadows. In the echoing space, nothing human moved. No one had the courage to enter for fear of what lay beyond. No one dared to set foot inside to take a breath of the air within and challenge fortune. At least, no man dared.
Captain, please, no, wait.
I will not.
But these were not men. They towered over common humans, these scions of battle. Once, both of them had been proud to stand amongst the Emperor's Legiones Astartes, brothers in conflict, comrades against adversity. Now, fate had set them upon separate paths. One was clad in war gear the color of storms, adorned with a golden eagle cuirass, his helm mag-locked at his waist and his sword at his back. Nathaniel Garrow, knight-errant and a gentia primus of the Regent of Terra. The other, a former warrior stripped of his armor, weapons, and the desire for war. Merrick Voyan in his robes, once an apothecary of the Death Guard Legion, and now a soul in search of peace.
Stop! I beg of you, let me explain!
Nothing you say will sway me!
Nathaniel!
Garrow looked down at the hand that Voyan had placed on his vambrace, a warning flashing in his eyes.
Step back, brother. Now!
Hear me out.
There is no explanation you can voice, Merrick. I am disappointed in you.
I have not done this for your approval, my captain. I did it for a greater good, for our battle brothers and our legion.
The Death Guard are no longer our legion. They broke that faith when Mortarion turned against the Emperor.
We can bring them back. I can bring them back.
With that...
Garrow turned and gestured tersely toward the only object in the hall, a heavy cylindrical cryo casket made of steel and armor glass.
A harvest of poisoned dregs and foul detritus?
How does one cure a disease, Nathaniel? First, you must capture the virus, analyze it, conquer it. Only then can a vaccine be feasible.
The warrior sneered.
A vaccine? We do not speak of some malady to be treated by balms and potions. You cannot... recover from this corruption. I have seen it at close quarters and with my murder in its fangs. I have looked this foulness in the eye and glimpsed the true shade of its hatred.
You are not alone in that. I was on the Eisenstein too, remember? I know what happened to Grulgor and Decius. I saw the pestilence that overtook their bodies.
Silence stretched between them. It seemed like an eon had passed since they had fled to Terra, bringing word of the War Master Horus and his bloody betrayal at Istvan III. Garrow and Voyan and Decius, Hakur, Cruz and the rest of the 70, who dared to oppose their Primarchs when all loyalty to Terra had been burned to ashes. In the aftermath, amidst the airless wastes of Luna, they had awaited an uncertain fate. Warriors orphaned by their traitor kinsmen, trusted by few, feared by many. In that silence, their brother, Solon Decius, had been taken by the same insidious taint that even now was undoubtedly corrupting the rest of their legion. Garrow had killed Decius, out there in the Sea of Crises, and perhaps, in the act, the battle captain had known that he had been spared for something greater. Voyan saw something different that day, though. A sickness that he could not turn away from. The apothecary surrendered his birthright as a space marine and dedicated his existence to finding what Garrow now thought impossible.
A cure? I believe it exists. It must.
No matter how hard you wish for it, Merrick, believe me when I tell you that it does not. Now, get out of my way or I will put you aside by force.
Garrow pushed past his comrade and strode toward the dais and support frame upon which the casket rested.
You cannot know that.
What I know. What I know is that corruption is absolute. It is subtle and constant.
Do you see that in me, my lord?
You kept something from me once before, brother. Your membership in the lodges.
At Garrow's mention of the covert gatherings instigated by Horus's legion, Voyan hesitated. Guilt soured his expression.
I have atoned for my mistake. I forswore that clandestine pact when I learned that they were the tool of the War Master's perfidy.
Indeed. But still, you kept all of this from me as well. You began your work in secret and hid it from the world. Why? Is it because you knew what I would do when I learned of it?
I did not think you would understand. I am a man of science, and I think in such terms, but you are...
I am what? Do you think me a credulous fool? You know me better than that.
Voyan eyed his former commander.
You have always put great stock in the numinous. I believe only in what I can see and touch and know.
Garrow hesitated before the steel-blue cylinder.
I have faith, brother. But that does not mean I have abandoned reason. It is you who cannot see clearly. You cling to the truth you were born with, that this is a rational universe of immutable laws. You tell yourself you could understand all of existence if only the structure of it were visible to you. But that is a falsehood.
Then what do you say is true?
The truth is that we live on the surface of a great maelstrom, populated by powers we can only begin to comprehend. That we must oppose them unto death, on that point, you and I fully agree. But if your only compass is the lucid and the possible, then you have already lost. The arch enemy lies beyond human constructs like reason and logic. To fight them, to beat them, we must see past the veil.
If I can save the lives of the Death
Guard... You cannot save their souls! It is already too late for that.
The warrior studied the container. Through misted glassy panels, a dark gray mass of particulate matter was visible. It resembled volcanic ash, clumps of it accreting around objects that might have been fragments of mutant bone or distorted chitin. It was all that remained of the ground where Solon Decius, transformed into the monstrous Lord of Flies, had perished. Where he fell, Decius's ashen remains polluted the lunar surface like a toxic spill. In any other place but the moon's magnificent desolation, the residue of death would have spread like a canker. And now that material had been scooped up and gathered here for transit off-world.
Where did you hope to take this?
Io, the Jovian installation. There is a facility there that rides atop the sulfur oceans. It belongs to a faction of the Magos Biologis, who rejected the rebellion of Mars. We could examine the remains there in safety.
How many men died to gather it all?
7 men perished in the recovery process, each from a different chimeric disease vector. They were dead before we could get them to an infirmary.
And still you wonder why I came to stop you.
When Voyan spoke again, his manner was different. Something had changed in him now, with almost a beseeching tone to his words.
You left us behind, Nathaniel. Those who remained of the 70... You went away and you were given purpose, but not the rest of us, not I. So I forged my own. We legionaries are functionally immortal, are we not? Away from battle and threat of death, we might live for millennia. So I chose to rededicate my existence to finding a cure for that hideous living death that took our former kinsmen.
He met Garrow's piercing gaze.
I need this purpose. Without it, I am only the cast-off son of a traitor legion. Lost and forgotten, distrusted and maligned. I have no knight's armor, no sanction from Malkador the Sigilite. I have only my hope. You understand that, don't you?
I understand. More than you can know, my old friend. And that is why, for the final time, I refuse you. This must end here.
If you do this, there will be no chance of redemption. You will doom the Death Guard name to live in infamy for thousands of years.
It is our gene father, Lord Mortarion, who made that choice, Merrick, not I.
The shadows were at their heaviest here, thick curtains of night dark that made the wide space of the hall seem enclosed and oppressive. As Garrow reached for the casket, he felt the flesh on the back of his neck prickle. That innate war sense, bred into him through the gene works of the legions, came alive. An intuition he could not name, an animal impulse warning him of a danger as yet unrevealed. His armored fingers touched the curved lid, and he knew that something was amiss. There, along the seam that held the casket closed, the thick brass maglocks that should have each been sealed tight were hanging wide, the latches like slack jaws. It is open.
What? That's impossible.
Suddenly, the air tasted of fetor and rancid meat. A wave of slaughterhouse stench and decay arose, potent enough to curdle the air in Garrow's lungs and repulse even a legionary's constitution. He took an involuntary step backwards, though some instinct made him reach out towards the black, shadow-wreathed stanchion supporting the casket. Light moved strangely upon the iron pillars, almost as if it were being absorbed by the dark. And Garrow had the sudden sense that the unnatural shadows he saw were not falling from the play of illumination and shade. Darkness coated everything in a fathomless slick. His fingers scraped at the metal and encountered thousands of tiny, chitinous forms, clustered so densely together that they were a thick, black mantle. The shadows are flies! Hidden in the gloom, the silent, unmoving insects now exploded into horrible, freakish life. Their tiny, mutant wings were sharper than razors, their warp-tainted mandibles wet with acidic venom, and they craved warm flesh and spilled blood.
Damn! What in terror's name?
Back! Get back!
Where did these things come from? There was no living organic matter in the ashes. They could not have come from the casket. This chamber was hermetically sealed. Nothing can get in or out.
They came from the Immaterium, born out of madness and corruption. Do you not see now, Merrick? This is the nature of the enemy.
The warp.
Aye.
He shoved Voyant towards the heavy airlock hatch behind them.
Go. You are unprotected. These things will feast on the meat of you. Make your body a nest for their maggot hatchlings. We cannot let the swarm move beyond this chamber. Now, go! And seal the door behind you.
Garrow's former comrade nodded, but he could not take his eyes off the casket. Of its own accord, the metallic cylinder was cracking open, and a torrent of newborn flies flooded out, filling the air with a hurricane of glistening wings.
Captain, you can't fight them with a sword.
Let me worry about that.
Voyan stepped over the threshold, and Garrow slammed his mailed fist into the hatch controls. The meter-thick barrier of solid plasteel slid into place and locked shut. Garrow reached down and donned his sharp-snouted battle helm, securing it against a dithering cloud of carnivorous flies. Through an armor-glassed portal, Garrow saw Voyan's face looking back at him from the safety of the corridor beyond. The apothecary's aspect was that of a man shaken by a truth he did not wish to face.
I warned you. This is what the enemy is capable of. And when we try to fight them on a battleground of reason, they shift the sands beneath us. We are at war with the impossible.
He marched into the storm of flies, but did not draw his power sword. Voyan was right. Even with the weapon's energy-charged edge, Garrow would only destroy a handful of the swarming horde. He had a different manner of attack in mind. With each step closer to the casket, the density of the flies increased. He heard the scratch and snap of thousands of microscopic fangs biting into the ceramite sheath of his armor. The flies chewed at the flex joints, trying to pierce to the plasteel beneath. They clogged the breather slits of his faceplate with a wet paste of their own crushed bodies. His helmet's glowing eye slits drew them in like moths to a flame, blinding him. Step by step, Garrow felt his way back to the casket on the dais. A colossal mass of flies crawled and writhed across the steel surface, acid sizzling from their maws. For a moment, the warrior thought he heard the echo of Solon Decius's warped laughter and the buzzing of their wings. Garrow opened a vox channel.
This is Captain Garrow. Execute emergency protocol. Open the doors.
Garrow activated the magnetic pads on the soles of his boots and tensed. The blank bulkhead at the far end of the hall shuddered, and then, in the manner of a magician's trick, it became a series of great panels that shifted on hidden rails, retreating back into the walls. A blinding yellow-orange inferno was suddenly revealed, blazing beyond the retracting doors. The turbulent surface of Sol, Terra's great sun. The tainted atmosphere inside the compartment was immediately blown out into the vacuum beyond. And with it went the swarm. The mutant insects were simultaneously flash-frozen and burnt to a crisp, and even their warp-tainted origins were not enough to save them from the titanic power of the star. Crimson warning runes lit up across every readout visible to the legionary, as the temperature inside the compartment rose to terrifying ranges. The heat burned off the dead flies and scorched Garrow's grey armor a dull black. He felt it beat at him, boiling him alive. With effort, he reached for the casket and took hold. When Captain Garrow had come aboard this ship after learning of Merrick Voyan's ill-advised scheme, his first act had been to order the vessel's commander to divert course, away from Io and Jupiter, directly towards the sun. Now, nothing lay before him and the oblivion of the solar furnace. Garrow tore the casket from its support with a snarl of exertion and lifted it high. Then, marshalling all the potency of his gen-hanced musculature and the power armor that encased him, he hurled it through the open hatchway and into the grasp of the star.
Garrow to bridge. Close it.
From the corridor beyond, Voyan saw Garrow standing amongst the trace ashes of the burned swarm, and the horror of true understanding at last came to him. All his hopes to search out a cure for the Death Guard's malaise and save his brethren, this need that defined him, it was in vain. For if Garrow was right, if this new war was a thing of demonic powers and foul magics as much as guns and blades...
How can a rational soul face that?
Voyan felt his throat tighten and a sudden burning in his blood. A stinging sensation made the flesh of his forearm twitch, and he pulled back the cuff of his robes. There, on his skin, was the reddening mark of an insect bite, and, already forming, a trio of tiny sores.